for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, July the 2nd, 1994. First service of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. I'm going to ask ministries here to come and greet us. I'm going to ask Brother Dorrance Lutke to come and take a few minutes. You're not just supposed to come up here and say hello and sit down. We want you to come, and then he will be ministering in different times of service during the camp meeting and minister that which the Lord has given to him. I will let him say what he would like to this evening, and I'll not interfere here however I could, but I won't. Okay. Brother Dorrance, come and greet us and
praise the Lord. Welcome. Greetings from Minnesota. Hallelujah. On the way down, we stopped at a hotel. We had to stay overnight a couple nights to get here because I live way by the Canadian border, about an hour from the border, and it's a long trip down here. And I went in the hotel, and I said to the man, I says, do you have a room for us? And I don't know what he said back, but it wasn't English. And so we finally communicated through his drawl and my Norsky, you know. So I'm cleaning up my Norsky, and if I slip, you tell me. Okay, you kind of wave at me and I'll get it straight. Well, we hit 42 below zero this winter on the thermometer. And the first week in January, we had 5 days that we warmed up to 32 below zero on the thermometer. So it's cool up there. And so it's good to be down in this heat. Yes, we're storing it up, brother. We need to store this heat up and take it home again, you know. But you know what? God's moving up there in those towns and those little churches, you know. And I'll tell you, God is doing a new thing out there. We counted the other night, I've been 27, 28 nations, I've been around the world, and on and on and on. But you know what? In this past year, 10%, only 10% of my meetings have been at Christian places. Now think about that for a minute. I said, Lord, what's going on? 3 weeks ago, I preached for a national VFW Legion convention in northern Minnesota. Now think about that a minute. We went into a VFW that you couldn't see the end of. You people would be the front rows. And I was the speaker. And you know what I preached on? I preached on after the cross and before the rapture. To those people after the cross and before the rapture. And they sat there like this. I wish we would have taped it. I wish we would have taped it. And afterward, and this is a bar, understand me. And afterward, a lady came up. She didn't even let me get away from the mic. She said to me, she said, brother, she said, I have never heard the gospel as you preached it before. She says, what you preach, I want right now. I said, but wait. She said, no, don't you tell me but. She says, I want it right now, right here in this VFW. And I tell you what, that's what God's doing out there. And he's getting people ready for that. So don't you dare turn away from the world because they need you. They need what you have to say. They need you to say it to them and say it to them and say it to them and say it to them. Amen? Her mother ran the bar and she died of cancer. And she was a hard girl, I want you to know. But God got a hold of her. Two weeks ago, I was the guest speaker for an area-wide father-son banquet for the Lutheran Church. I'm not Lutheran and I don't have a son, but I was still the speaker. And I preached, remember God. Remember God. Remember God. And I'm saying that to say this, is that God is taking the walls of the church and bringing them down. He is bringing those high places down. You hear that? The high places are coming down. And I want you to know that. Those high places that man has built, he is bringing them low. And we are going out of the walls and taking the gospel with us to the world that needs it. And we have a saying in Minnesota, if that don't get you started, son, your wood's wet. Amen. So I hope nobody's got wet wood, because you can get delivered tomorrow at 3 o'clock from wet wood. How's that? I want to say I brought my daughter with me, Sarah. Sarah, stand up a minute. And I'm going to just testify about Sarah for just a minute. She was 10 years old when she was 4 years old. When she was 4 years old, she was having some serious, serious, serious physical problems. And we took her to the doctor, and they took her to another specialist. And they came back, and she said she has a disease that grows tumors all over her. On her leg, a tumor started, and within a week, it was the size of my thumb. And the second week, it had broken the skin completely open. And I'd never seen anything like it. It was just eating her leg. And they said to me, she has a disease, and it's very serious. And she was 4. And they said, don't plan on her making kindergarten. Take her home, love her. I said, oh. Oh, yeah, find a knife, right? The devil picked one up. But God's greater than that devil. That's why God's up there and the devil's down there. You know that? That's the difference. There's a river in heaven. There's nothing but old junk down there. And you know, we prayed and we prayed and we looked for the face of God. And I'm telling you what, today, no matter what you face, you look for the face of God. Yes. No matter what you walk. I learned something yesterday coming down here. We stopped with some friends. You know what I learned? It was the most interesting thing, that where the Israelites crossed the sea, God had a way already for them before they got there. Now, you say, what do you mean by that? I mean to say this, is when you're looking at an ocean, you have to cross it, there's a boat ready for you. There is a boat with your name on it. And so we were looking for that with God, weren't we? And we didn't know what to do, but we knew God. Well, when you don't know what to do, know God. And we got a hold of God. All it says is you just need enough faith to reach up and touch the hem of the garment. Doesn't say you have to go all the way to the top, does it? No. Just the hem. And I said, Lord, I got that much faith to make the hem. Just the hem, Lord. That's all I want is the hemline. Isn't that neat? When you say, I don't have enough faith, you got enough faith to reach the hemline. Well, we got a hold of the hemline, I want you to know. And we had to take her into surgery. Didn't want to. We had to take her into surgery. The doctor said, you have to stay in this part of the operating room because if it's deep enough and the roots are deep enough, we have to take her at the knee. Oh, 4 years old? I said, no. No. Absolutely not. So I sat in there and sat in there. About 45 minutes later, the doctor came out with blood on the front of her. And she said the most amazing thing about those tumors, she said they were just completely surrounded by fat. And she says, when I went to cut them out, they came right out. That's hemline faith. All right? Now, I tell you, there's people that would say, well, brother, you should have. Well, I didn't. I'm sorry. I had enough faith for a hemline, and I got the hemline. All right? And it was good enough for me. But she had a tumor in her spinal column, in the spinal column, and that's not good. So we hit 5, and we hit 6, and when we hit age 7, we were happy for age 7. When we hit age 7, that tumor hit 25% in Sempit curve. That's a pretty hefty curve in the back. And so when she stood up, Sarah, stand up. When she stood up and stand up straight, she was bent over like this. And they said, Dorns, we have to tell you this, is that it's time for surgery because not too much more, it's going to literally break her back. They said there'd be enough pressure on her that in that spinal column that it'll just cause a pinch in that nerve and she'll just drop to the ground. Oh, how do you tell a dad that? And I said, no, After the hemline comes the garment. I said, now I'm going to reach up a little more. All right? I'm reaching up some more. I ain't quitting with this. I'm reaching up some more. Well, in 2 weeks' time, that curve went from 25% to 19%. It started to straighten out. And I said, thank you, Lord. January of this year, I was in Russia. And I was preaching in a big school down a town called Kursk. And there was about 1,200 kids in that auditorium. And I was preaching away, and all of a sudden the Lord stopped me just like this. And he says to me, He said, you've been faithful. And he said, because you're faithful and you're here preaching to these kids, he said, I'm going to heal your daughter. Amen. And I tell you what I said. My interpreter was looking at me, hitting me on the arm. Come on, come on, come on. And I'm standing there crying, praising the Lord, saying, yes, let it be so. If God said it, nobody's going to mess with it. And I got home. And it was time for one of her checkups. And we went for that checkup. And they put the x-rays up, and it was a 19%. I said, oh, wait a minute. Now, I'm going to tell you what. When God makes a promise, it's thus and so. But sometimes we have to remind him of that promise. Hello? God, remember me? Remember, God, what you said? And I learned something. When God said, let there be light, there was light. There was no argument. There was no go-around. Darkness got out of the way, and there was light. When God said, let there be stars, the sky just opened up and the stars came on. And when God said, I'm going to heal her because you've been faithful, that's thus and so. 45 days later, we had to go back again for this. Well, this time, we found God. We reached a little higher. But in between time, I have to tell you this, in between time, we're at church, we had some special speakers in, and Sarah went up. They called her up. Just by word of knowledge, they called her up. She went up, and this lady grabbed a hold of her on that big platform and prayed for her, and she got slain in the spirit. And when she got up, in front of, there were several thousand people in church that night, when she got up, you could see her face glow. You could absolutely, literally see her face glow. Come here. She's crying. I got to hold her a minute. Come here. Come here. It's all right. Come here. And I'm going to tell you what she saw. You tell me what you saw when you were on the ground. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yes, go ahead.
I saw Jesus and I was slain in the spirit.
Yeah. Amen. She was slain in the spirit, and she saw Jesus. She saw Jesus come to her with his hands open. With his hands open, she saw Jesus come to her. And I tell you, when you've been in the presence of God, your face will shine too. Well, her face did shine, and everybody's seen it. And you know, we went to that next one. They did full body x-ray, did MRI. They did, I know, more tests than the doctors know nowadays. And you know what? There was a big commotion that day at the hospital. There was a big commotion that day at the hospital. And sure enough, they came out and got me, and that doctor plastered that x-ray up, this big, long x-ray like this. And she said, here's 19% curve. Here's the previous one underneath at 23% curve. She stuck that other one up, and it was all the way down to 11% curve. 11. That's it. That's it. That's a miracle. I mean, that's not much at all. I mean, on a bad day, we all got that. And that's God, because the Lord told me in Russia, he said, she is going to go with you on the next trip. And I said, yes, it is so. Yes, it is so. And we're planning to go in October, aren't we? And we're already scheduled in the schools, and she's going to tell them what Jesus did for her there. Isn't that how we want to go? I tell you what, just sit there and listen to that. That's God. That's God. So I only got a little bit left to go. But you know what? I still know God, and I'm reaching a little higher. And you reach a little higher, too. You see, and one of the things that we found out with this situation was this. It was hereditary. Her mother had it. My wife has it. We found out that her dad had it. And when we talked to my father-in-law, we found out that his father had it, too. One of the greatest things that we started to do when she was 4 years old was break that generational curse. Hallelujah. And I want to say this to you right now, as loving and as kind as I can say to you, that if you're sitting here tonight or tomorrow or the next day or the next day, and you say to yourself, well, this thing I got my mother had, this thing I got my father had, this thing I got my grandpa had, you're in the right place to get delivered and healed of that in Jesus' name. Did you know that? This is it, because you don't have to suffer with it. And you don't have to put up with it. This is it. And one of the greatest starts to her healing was when we broke those generational lines with the blood of Jesus. You'll learn about that, I'm sure. Yeah. So I want to say to you tonight quickly, we know a God that is a healer. We know a God that is a Savior. We know a God that loves you. But I also know a God that is a God of judgment. And all of a sudden, one day, God's going to say, this is it. Enough is enough. It's said, done, amen. And 1987 is when the two angels came to me, of all people, that were the angels of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'll talk about that one night when Glenn says so over there. And tell you what that message was. 1987. Since 1987, he knows this, the ministries that have been under the judgment hand of God. And we've seen that judgment hand of God move out of the church into the earth today, haven't we? Did you know that last year in this United States is the first time we have had floods and drought in the same summer? Think about that. Floods and drought in the same summer. Our weather is unique. Is that a good way to say it? How many of you notice that? Yes. It's different out there, isn't it? And in November this year, standing out on the farm in a little field, those two angels came again. And this time they had another message. And another time I'll tell you about that. And today was the most interesting thing because we had stopped at a place and they said, when you go through, you have to stop because we have to talk to you about this. We pulled out old books. We pulled out old manuscripts and we did some digging today. And I'm going to tell you what, there's some people today, there's big ministries today, love me when I say this, that have gone to the Witch of Endor and have conjured up spirits. Yeah. Did I say that okay? You're not going to shoot me? Then I'll say it how I really want to say it. There are ministries and groups and people today that have sold you out because they have gone to the Witch of Endor to get their wisdom instead on their knees to God. And they have made a blood covenant with that witch. And they have eaten of that sacrifice because your Bible and mine says she killed that calf. And one version says she spilt the blood out and then she fed it and her and Saul ate it together. Think about that. Oh, that does something to you, doesn't it? Your socks curling up on your toes. And some of you have come with questions here. And I'm going to tell you what the word of the Lord is beginning to say. And it's this, disentach. Disentach. Think of those words for a second. Disentach. Disentach. Now, I was raised on a farm, so God has to speak to me in that manner. And I was out with a deck mower behind my little tractor one day after the Lord was telling me those words. And I said, Lord, what does disentach? Help me with that terminology. And he said, when you pulled your deck mower off of your tractor, what'd you do? I said, well, I unhooked a PTO shaft. I unhooked at 3 points. And the deck mower just sat there on the ground, and I started up the tractor and drove away. He said, that's disentach. That's disentach. And some of you are in, I'm saying it, in churches today can I say this? Is this okay, sir? That you've been pondering disentachment. We'll discuss that some night in total detail. You can write it down. You can go home and pray about it. All right. Is that okay? So I thank you. I thank you for this time. And Sarah thanks you for this time. And one person already asked me, said, isn't she kind of young to come to camp meeting? Oh, my goodness. I wish I would have went to camp meeting when I was 10 years old and listened to these great men and women of God. Amen. Think what she's going to be when she's 30. When she's 40. Isn't that something? So I love you very much. And get ready. Get ready. And if your wood's a little wet, come get it dried out so we can get it started up, okay? Amen. Love you. Thank you.
I'm not next. I just want to commend this brother for being so open and honest. On the way here, one night in the motel room, just a couple nights ago, the Spirit said, thundered to my wife and I in word of knowledge, the church has gone to the Witch of Endor. I'd never heard that. And the Lord said it sovereignly. Brother, I confirm this in the name of Jesus. And that disentachment is happening all over. I can see people kind of just floating. So God bless you. And Sarah, you just bless the socks off of me.
Now, since Brother George did that, I'll just introduce him for a few minutes.
Brother George Monta from North Carolina. I always get it backwards. I got it right that time. From North Carolina. And he'll be ministering several times this week, but he's going to come for a few minutes here again, just as Brother Ludicky did. And then Brother Frank Mazzulla will close the service this evening.
Oh, hallelujah. Adair, come and stand by me for just a minute. I want you to meet Adair. I want you to know that husband and wives must always be together. They must be together in spirit. It helps to be together in soul. And it's a joy to be together physically, just having someone you can really love. And I got one. Oh, hallelujah. I want to bless Carol. Where's Carol? God's giving you a gift, honey, that is very special. He's given it to both of you. But it has to do with reaching through the eye gate into a center place where change takes place. Now, this is a kind of imparting that the body of Christ needs, especially during this time of transition. Impartation and transition go together, and without real divine spiritual impartation, transition becomes just random. And then you get hooked by the hookers. And I commend you and just minister to you now the power to reach in even deeper. Just, were you aware of that? That God's given her that ability to stand by her husband and reach through the eye gate in a very special spiritual way. And that is not seduction. That is a movement that goes deep in and helps us to become fertile ground. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to get to know this vessel. We've lived together almost 50 years now. That's our whole life, practically. Say hello.
That sounds like we were together a long time before we were married, but no. We have been married 48 years and have a lovely family. But I'm here to talk about what we're doing here and what a beautiful crowd, and to see so many for the first time. And the Lord said, come and dine, and you came. You heard the call, and it's so beautiful. You answered, and you, when you come to that, you get to feast. When you come and answer to what the Lord is saying, He just sets the table before you. There is a time when He sets the table before you in the presence of your enemies, but that's not here. This is where you dine, and you're with the King, and you're at His right hand. He tells us that, doesn't He? So you're here for a special reason. You're here to be blessed. You're here to be freed from things you need to be freed from. You're here to learn how to grow in the Lord, and you're going to go different. As Bill's the song we say, you're going to leave here differently than you came, and we know that that's going to happen. Now, who I am, I'm a helpmeet. You've read that word in the scripture. That's what I am. I'm just a helpmeet. I'm not a speaker. I'm not an orator, but I am a child of God.
Yes.
And I am, as you say, in the spirit, I'm male. Yeah. I'm a son of God. There is neither male nor female. And if the spirit is male and the soul is female, I am male. But I am here to tell you, you're here for a blessing. You're going to receive it. And as so many have said, the walls are coming down. The Lord is preparing, and He's building His body.
Yeah.
He's making one body. We may be from all different kinds of churches, doesn't matter. We have the creed that Jesus is Lord, and He is making His body, and we are a part of it. God bless you.
Oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord is saying to us many, many things. But I want you, and I hope most of you can be here for the entire week, to become aware of two themes that I feel the Lord is going to birth into you with new power. The first being, the church is coming into its priesthood as a living, active priesthood. That the priesthood has not been seen by the church. The church hasn't been born into its priesthood. And God said, Exodus 19, 6, 7, 8, I will make you to be a kingdom, priest to my name. Revelations 1:6, I have made you. The one is a promise, the other a fulfillment. And people, when you are anointed into your priesthood, you function with authority. The Lord will release a word through you which will change you and change your community and heal your daughters. We should walk every day as believers, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, I cast out unbelief right now. Sense belief growing in you. Sense a new level of faith growing in you. Sense the Holy Spirit teaching you the difference between faith as a gift and belief as submission, so that you can submit to the Word of God as it comes to you. Oh, this place is a veritable garrison. This is the place where the angels of God have come to install in you a mighty weaponry. Are you ready for it? Do you want it? Oh, hallelujah. God is releasing a new word in the land, and many of you are carriers of that word. He's releasing a new faith in the land. You can feel it growing. You can see people who no longer want Sunday morning meetings. They want to get where the people are fighting. Oh, hallelujah. God's releasing a word through you, brother, and it's a new word, and I could hardly wait to tell you. Furthermore, he said, you know it's coming. You can feel it coming. I don't even know your name. What's your name? John. Oh, God bless you. It's just flowing. And it's a word not just of, well, it's a word of power. It's a word of demonstration. Like Paul said, I come to you not in the wisdom of men's words, but in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. We're no longer going to talk about healing. We're going to heal. We're not going to talk about deliverance. I believe in deliverance. We're going to say in the name of Jesus, be free of jealousy. Be free of pornography. Be free of sin. This is the word that's coming forth. This is what Lake Hamilton is about, has always been about. That's why Satan hates it. That's why he's got every finger and every circuit out there he can get. And he's getting electrocuted. Oh, hallelujah! The priesthood. Be ready. Be ready to see into what it means to become an anointed priest for God Himself. Your authority flows out of the anointing that comes to you as a priest. That's what anointing is. When John says, brothers, children, he called them darlings, actually, in the Greek. Darlings, you have an anointing by which you know all things, and that anointing abides in you. He was talking about the anointing for the priesthood. That's what they thought. That's what they looked forward to, was being put into their place as priests. And you are not Christians, merely Christians. You are priests of the Most High God, and you walk with priestly robes. You walk in holiness. You wear the mitre on your head. You have the Word of God written on your thigh. You don't walk just as people. You walk as anointed, sanctified, consecrated priests. And if you're not anointed, and if you're not consecrated and sanctified, just reach out and receive it right now. The Holy Spirit is giving it to you. And that's why you're here. That's why the word of power is going forth, making you tremble. This is why these people can sing and open your hearts to the point where you would receive anything, even spaghetti. Oh, I love that ministry. It's a tenderizing ministry. I can hardly wait to hear him preach. Oh, hallelujah. And oh, what a ministry you have, brother. Oh, praise God. People, we are in the presence of the living Christ. We are in the presence of the whole Christ. Jesus is beginning to show us how his body is supposed to function. And you, I charge you to be open for what the Spirit is saying. I charge you to be open to hear the word and speak the word to each other and to yourselves, and to let the Holy Spirit come to you to change you. A mighty surge of power. Now, that's the first theme. That's the priesthood. The priesthood of the believer. what is happening to you as priests being newly inserted into a new kind of church, into a new kind of body. Believe me, it's different from last year. It's different from 5 years ago. It's different, people. You know it's different. The other theme that God put in me and is burning in me is that it comes from Galatians 5, chapter 1. It was for freedom that Christ hath set you free. Stand firm in that freedom. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Do not be yoked in the bondage of other people's religious nonsense. Listen to what God is saying. Let the Word of God become alive in you to separate your soul from your spirit so you don't always take from your emotions or from other people's theology. You hear God speaking about a daughter. You hear God speaking about a neighborhood. You hear God speaking about a government that's gone crazy. Oh, believe me, people, it was for freedom that Christ hath set us free. And I just trust that God will open this up as a powerful, moving ministry. Deliverance sets us free. Deliverance frees us from the bondage of familiar spirits, from all the crazy tutti-frutti nonsense that comes up out of our ancestry. Deliverance releases us into an active, living, powerful, spiritual word. Oh, glory! Aren't you glad you're here? Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! He said before the camp meeting's over, these people will say, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Oh, hallelujah! And the angel has taken the tongs and gone to the brazen altar to take a coal from off the altar to touch to your lips, because you were born in a crooked, perverse nation. You're among people who don't know where they're going, and you are being cleansed by that coal so you can see him more and more high and lifted up. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. That's the introduction. God bless you. I love you all.
Well, bless the Lord. And all that's within me, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is his name. King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is his name. Hallelujah. Well, we'll turn Brother Frank loose and see. I put the other mic on him because I was afraid this one, he couldn't run far enough with this one. Oh, I put the other one on him. I forgot to mention, and I trust that you will all try, when service is over, try to get in bed as soon as you can so that your neighbor can get some rest. And if you don't want to sleep, lay there and pray. Don't talk to them. Let them sleep, pretty please, so they can get up and come to prayer meeting in the morning at 6 o'clock. And we trust that you'll all do that, pretty please. Okay, Brother Frank Mazzulla from down Florida way, and the Lord has really been, we've known him for almost 30 years, I guess, or longer, and been blessed to be with them and associated with them through the ministry of the camps farthest out a few years back, a few years longer than we need to talk about. But the Lord is moving all of these ministries in the ministry of deliverance. They may come with song, or they may come, but when you get through, you'll find this deliverance. God is looking for a people who desire to be holy unto his name. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's a hard thing to follow after, but that's what God is requiring of us. And there is a people who wants to be holy. Amen. Brother Frank.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy, it's pretty hard to follow George. Evelyn, where are you, Evelyn? Stand up. Way back there. That one in purple there, that's my lovely wife. We've been married going on 59 years. Glory to Jesus.
Amen. Herman and I called between you and Brother George and Sister.
Halfway in between. Well, one of these days you'll catch up. We have 14 grandchildren, four children, two boys, two girls. I knew how to do it. 14 grandchildren. 7.5 great-grandchildren. When we all meet together, we got a congregation. Hallelujah. Do we have a congregation? And most of them are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we just praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I like what Brother George said. Because I know who we are. I know who I am. Do you know who you are? You see, we're more than just sons of God. We're royalty. Right? He said the word in Revelation 1:6. We are a nation of kings and priests. See? I'm King Frank. Queen Carol, how are you? I want you to shake hands with someone and say, I am King so-and-so, I am Queen so-and-so. Go ahead. Do that. Hey, wait a minute. I didn't get that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, and when I go down in South America, I said, I want you to say, Buenos Dias, Ray Frank. And everybody says, Buenos Dias, Ray Frank. Glory to God. I am Ray Frank. Amen? Now I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Some of you might want to know, why did God create me? Why did God create you? What does God require of you? Verse 12, chapter 10 of Deuteronomy. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. When I was a little boy and I went to Sunday school, they said to me, why did God create you? And the answer, as I learned, was God made me to know him, to love him, to serve him. Everyone say, God made me to know him, to love him, to serve him. If you want to know what God has for you, are you doing those three things? I just want you to think about that. Do you know God? Or you just know about him? Do you have an intimate relationship with him? How do you know God? You talk to him. You have an intimate conversation with him. You say, Frank, is this leading up to deliverance? Yes, it is. Because there's something in you sometimes that doesn't want you to know God. There's something in you that wants you to know the world more than God. And that has to go. You'll have to be set free. Amen?
Amen.
And to love him. How do you love God? If you love me, Jesus said, you keep my commandments. And my Father will love you. And we will come and live in you. And to serve him. How can you serve him? Well, one of the ways to find out is to ask him, what do you want me to do for you, Lord?
That's right. Amen.
Very simple. Usually we go to God with the guineas. Heavenly butler. And you take out your laundry list. And I need this. And my wife needs this and so forth. You know, you dial the heavenly telephone. You ever dial the heavenly telephone? Hello, this you, God? This is me, Frank, down here. Yes, I have that list ready. And you go ahead and you tell God all about the list. And then you say, okay, thank you. And you shut the phone. And God turns to Angel Gabriel. He did it again. Frank didn't give me a chance to talk. He just shut the phone on me. Of course, you don't do that. You're nice people. Amen. To serve him. Find out what God wants you to do and then get busy. Whatever it is. Amen? I was riding one time in Miami on the freeway, and the Lord says, I want you to turn to Luke 4:18. And I pulled over to the side, and I turned to Luke 4:18. Well, I know that scripture pretty well, but I just wanted to make sure. And I turned to Luke 4:18, and I read it. And he said, I want you to live in Luke 4:18, and I want you to teach the people how to live in Luke 4:18. So let's turn to Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, Frank, I want you to live in it. This is your ministry, and this is the ministry of all my disciples. Now, family, if you're called, if you're saved, you're called. Amen? If you're saved, you're called. And if you're called, you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're on the front lines. You just can't be back of somebody else. You're on the front lines. God made you a frontline soldier as soon as you've been called. As soon as you said, Jesus, come into my heart, take full possession. He says, okay, I'll do it. And then he put a sword in your hand. Is that right? And he said, now just cover yourself with the armor, with my armor, and now start fighting. Oh, but Lord, that's not my ministry. I haven't been called for that. I've been called just to be a prayer. No, no, if you're a believer, these signs shall follow those who believe. You're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the first sign that follows a believer? Our brother said it. What is the first sign? Come on. In my name. Everybody say, in my name, you shall cast out demons. Amen. And the second sign is, they shall speak in new tongues. If you're not speaking in new tongues, there's something missing. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm just saying there's something missing. There's more. If you want more, there's more.
Amen. Yes.
There's always more. You know, who can climb the mountain of God? Who can reach the top? There's no end to the mountain of God. There's always more if you want more.
Right.
But you must want more. Right. See, we have to be the kind of people that are not satisfied.
Yes.
You know, hungry, hungry, hungry for more.
Yes.
More of the Lord Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Amen?
Now, if you're called, you're a disciple. And you better know how to cast out demons. Because if you don't, he'll clobber you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject you, that you shall not be a priest unto me, and I will reject your children. See, family, what affects us affects our family, our children. Amen? So we have to know. We have to know how to come against the enemy. I had to learn that. I had to learn how to get rid of the things that I was in. You know, reading horoscope, playing fortune telling, doing all these things. I was a mess. But thank God that he cleans up messes.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Now, we're at Lake Hamilton. And Lake Hamilton is a deliverance camp. Last night, here we were gathered together, had a little prayer meeting, and glory came down. I wish you were all here last night. You know why? Jesus is here. And when he's here, it works. Simple as all that. Amen? And one of the things that people ask me, how many people do you think need deliverance, Frank? I said, well, at least 8 out of 7. At one time or another. I'll tell you the people that do not need deliverance. Ever go by a cemetery? if you're dead. I mean, if you're really dead to the old nature, no demons can live in dead flesh. You can write that down. That's in Hezekiah 38. No demons can live in dead flesh. Write that down. Glory to God. Now, tonight we're going to go into a little bit of spiritual warfare. We're going to get ready for tomorrow. Okay? Some of you have been sitting for some time now. I want you to stand. We're going to come and wage warfare against the spirits in the second heaven. Now, you know that Paul said that he went to the third heaven, or he said he knew a man that went to the third heaven. Now, if there's a third heaven, and there's a first heaven, the stars, the moon, the sky, there's a second heaven. And the second heaven is the realm where Satan directs his warfare. If you want to read about the warfare in the second heaven, turn to Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel prayed and the angel Gabriel came and said to him, I was hindered. I had to fight the prince and power of over Persia for 21 days until Michael came to help me. He had to fight the devil's dark angel that's over the kingdom of Persia for 21 days. And that's why some of your prayers are not answered immediately, because there's warfare going on in the second heaven. Now, we're going to break down some of those bondages. Now, right now, you're facing south. Okay? And I want you to follow me in this prayer. I want you to raise your hand toward the south. And I want you to say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
You evil principalities and powers of the south.
You evil principalities and powers of the south.
We bind your power.
We
command you to be powerless in the name of Jesus.
You shall not hinder
or interfere with my receiving, my healing, my deliverance this week in the name of Jesus. All right. Let's turn to the north. Say, in the name of Jesus, you evil principalities and powers of the north. We command you to be powerless in the name of Jesus.
You shall not interfere
with my family receiving.
With my family receiving.
All that Jesus wants them to have.
All that Jesus wants them to have.
With my receiving.
With my receiving.
All that the Father God wants me to have.
All that Father God wants me to have.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, now let's turn to the east. So let's see. The east is there. Raise your hand toward the east. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
you evil principalities and powers of the east,
we bind your power.
We command you to be powerless.
We
pull you down in Jesus' name.
All you evil spirits
that have been hindering me, interfering in my family spiritual growth, I command you to be bound and powerless in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's turn to the west. In the name of Jesus, you evil principalities and powers of the west, we break your power. We pull you down in the name of Jesus. You shall not hinder
or interfere
with the workings on this campground,
with the people that are still coming.
We bind your power in Jesus' name. All right, now I want you to turn right above here, right above Lake Hamilton. Right above, now think about it, right above your city where you came from, right above your church, your home, the place where you work. Now let's go and stop pulling down and make it personal. Make it personal. Make this prayer personal. Start pulling down what you know is over your area. And those people that live here over this area. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
You evil principalities and powers over my city.
You evil principalities and powers.
Over Lake Hamilton.
Over Lake Hamilton.
over this campground. We bind your power. You spirits of witchcraft.
You spirits of
pornography. You spirits of lust.
We
bind your power.
You spirits
of political corruption. Now start naming whatever. Come on, start making it personal. You spirits of drug addiction. You spirits of poverty. You spirits. That's it. Start pulling them down. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes. You spirits of abortion. You spirits of... Amen. Amen. All right now. Oh, the spirits over there. The spirits over. Hela mataka yataka mahanta. All right now. Let's pull down those spirits over Washington, D.C. Okay? Start naming them. You know what spirits are over there. The spirits of abortion, the spirits of homosexual, lesbian spirits, the spirits of devil worship. Start naming them. Come on, start pulling them down. In the name of Jesus, we bind your power. All you spirits over Washington, D.C. In the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you. We pull you down in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. Now, let's ask God to loose the heavenly host to do battle against these spirits. Yes. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Everybody say it. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Loose your heavenly host. And drive these evil spirits out of Washington back over the Atlantic Ocean. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And return our nation to God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Now be seated. Okay. Now we're going to get rid of some spirits tonight. Now we're only playing around. We're going to get at them. All right? Now some of you came here and you're a little tired. How many here are a little tired? Oh, quite a few of you. We're going to get rid of the spirits of fatigue. Okay? Spirits of weakness. So that you can be attentive when we speak, especially when Brother George speaks. He's got a lot of fire in him. Okay? Let's say this. And then, by the way, how many here have never been in deliverance before? Okay? A few of you. Now, I'm going to tell you how spirits come out. And as we go along this week, we will tell you exactly, step by step, how spirits come out. How they come in, how they're cast out. But right tonight, we don't have the time to do all that. So take my word for it. They come out on your breath. The word for spirit and the word for breath in the Greek is the same word. It's pneuma, having to do with your breath, your lungs. So... we're going to ask you, after we command them to go, we're going to ask you to take a deep breath and let it out. Okay? Very simple. Take a deep breath and let it out. And some of you might feel like burping, coughing, sneezing, crying. Whatever comes naturally, just let it come out. Okay? Now, whatever you do when you're in the grocery store and somebody sneezes, don't think that's a demon. Okay? All right. Now we're going to get rid of some demons. All right. I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, I command out of me every spirit of fatigue, tiredness, weakness, and all like spirits.
And all like spirits.
All right, take a deep breath. Now let it out. That's it. Take a deep breath. Let all that fatigue out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. I see some of you are yawning. That's the way to come out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Say, in the name of Jesus, I command out of me
all spirit of heaviness,
loneliness, depression,
despair,
hopelessness, discouragement, despair. I said despair. Suicide. And the spirit of death. Take a deep breath. Now let it out. That's it. Take a deep breath. In the name of Jesus. There's quite a few people here that have been hurt. They have a wounded spirit and a broken heart. I just seem to sense that. And I'm just calling upon the Lord right now to heal. To heal that wounded spirit. To heal. Heal that wounded spirit and that broken heart.
Yes.
Some of you came here hurting. The Lord is just touching you. Lord Jesus, just touch that person that's hurting you tonight. Don't let them... that's right. Don't let them have a bad night's sleep. Give them the peace that passes understanding. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me all spirits of unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, root of bitterness, envy,
jealousy,
retaliation, revenge. I command these spirits to leave me in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Now let it out. Again, take a deep breath. Out. Good. That's good. You see, there's a reason for all this, because if you came here to be healed, unforgiveness is one of the greatest obstacles to healing. That's why we want to get rid of these, so that you can receive and go home set free and healed. How many would like that? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, in the name of Jesus, I command out of me all spirits of doubt, unbelief, skepticism,
all
that is not of faith,
in the name of Jesus.
All right, take a deep breath. Now let it out. All doubt, all unbelief, all skepticism, all disbelief, all out, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Lord. And another thing that will keep you from receiving, and of course, you're nice people, you can't possibly have this, pride. Pride. That's a big principality, isn't it? Amen. Oh, let's get rid of that pride. Let's say, in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me
all spirits of pride,
all spirits of pride,
haughtiness,
self-righteousness,
perfection,
contention,
criticism,
arguments,
fighting spirits,
egotism,
and all like spirits.
All
right, take a deep breath. Now let it out. All pride. That's it. All pride in Jesus' name. All pride. Thank you, Lord. See, that's going to prevent you. You don't want anybody to know that sweet little me might have a little demon. So you don't want to... Oh, I don't want to take a deep breath and yawn. Nobody wanted anybody to know that I possibly could have a demon. That's pride. And that's got to go.
Amen.
I don't care what it takes. I want to be set free.
Amen.
That's the attitude.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, I want you to say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me,
all spirits of infirmity,
especially Now, you just name whatever you've been diagnosed to have, whatever kind of infirmity you think you have, even if you only think you have it. Call it out as a spirit. Okay? Say, I command the spirit of arthritis. I command the spirit of glaucoma. I command the spirit of deafness. Whatever it is, name it. Because if you call it out and you don't have it, nothing will happen. Don't worry about it. Just call it out. Say, I command these spirits of infirmity to leave me in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now everyone take a deep breath and let out those spirits of infirmity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now there's a couple more. Now our brother talked to you about those spirits that are in the bloodline. Now these are very important spirits. You know, they come in through your father, your mother, or your great-grandfather, your great-great-great-grandfather or mother or so forth. If you see any time that there's cancer, infirmity, sickness going down from generation to generation to generation, there's a curse on that bloodline. Okay? Now, we're going to break those curses right now. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I break every curse,
I break every curse
that came into me,
through my father and mother,
my grandparents,
my
great-grandparents, all curses that are in my bloodline, I cancel them in the name of Jesus. And I command the spirits that came into me
in my blood
that affect me
to leave me now in the name of Jesus.
All right, everyone take a deep breath. And I'll cough it out in the name of Jesus. Get out, all you curses. In the name, that's it. Cough it out, sister. Cough it out. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. You're going to have a good night's sleep tonight. I mean it. We're going to go over and over on this until we shake those roots out completely. Amen? Now, I'm going to call out some spirits. You say, well, I don't think I have those. For instance, witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And, of course, some of you were never rebellious, were you? Let's command them out. Say, in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me.
All spirits of witchcraft.
All spirits of witchcraft.
Spirits of rebellion.
Spirits of rebellion.
Spirits of Jezebel.
Spirits of Jezebel.
Spirits of manipulation.
Spirits of
control.
Control.
Domination.
Domination.
Ahab spirits.
Being under control.
I command all these spirits to leave me in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Now, let it out. That's it. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Now, we didn't tackle... We can be here all night, but we're not going to be here all night. But there are... One more I'd like to get rid of. I want to come against the spirits of lust. Say,
in the name of Jesus,
I command out of me
all spirits of lust,
fantasy lust,
fornication,
adultery,
masturbation,
incest, anal sex,
oral sex,
homosexual,
lesbian,
sex with animals,
sex with spirits,
prostitution,
harlotry,
abortion,
and all unclean sexual spirits.
All right, take a deep breath. Now let it out. All right, again, take a deep breath.
and let it out. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Lord. Now, I want you to say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Breath of God.
Breath of God.
Please come into me.
Please come into me.
With all that you are.
With all that you are.
With your love.
Your joy,
your peace,
your goodness,
your kindness,
your faithfulness,
your patience,
and take the place
of these evil spirits that we commanded out. We command them out of this sanctuary, off this campground,
out of my home.
Out of my loved ones.
Out of
the place where I work.
Out of my car.
Not to come back.
In the name of Jesus.
I'll give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, before we dismiss, I want anyone that has pain in their body to stand up. Put your hand on that part of your body that has pain. All right? In the name of Jesus, I'm going to lift my hand toward you. You know Jesus is here, don't you? Amen. I'm going to ask the Lord Jesus to touch that part of your body that you're touching. As I raise my hand toward you, just receive the healing. Receive the healing. Remember, He's the one that's doing it. He is the one that's touching you. Receive the healing in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, touch that mouth, touch that back, touch that neck, touch that chest, that stomach, touch that head, touch those eyes, touch. Yes, Lord Jesus, touch. Touch. Just touch Him. And then, yes. Touch that back. Oh, yes, Lord. Just touch that, those eyes and that neck. Oh, touch that back in the name of Jesus. Just receive it. Receive the healing. Touch that head. Oh, yes, that's it. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is just healing you, with the multicolored dress there, the green and red. The Lord is touching you and healing you. You're receiving it right now. The pain is going away right now. That's it. Move it around. Move it around. Hallelujah. How are you feeling, sister? Great, huh? Hallelujah. You just got it. You just got touched. I saw the Lord touch you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Just receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the nape of your neck. Receive it. Receive it on your side in the name of Jesus. Receive it on your jaw in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, receive it. In Jesus' receive it. Now, I want you to test your body. If you had a pain in your back, move over. Do something. If you had it in your shoulder, do something. Just touch your body. I mean, test it. And if you've been healed, I want you to wave your hand. What happened, Francis? Gone? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Who else? Come on. Give glory to God. Yes, sister. Now you can bend over. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Who else? What happened to you? I saw the Lord touch you. Tommy? Deterioration in your neck and? Now you can do it, huh? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yes, brother.
My lungs feel better.
All right. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Oh, let's give the Lord the glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come over here, Bill.
Father, we thank you for your sweet presence here this evening and for all that's been accomplished in each one of our lives. Thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for a good night's rest tonight. We thank you for peace and rest. And in Jesus' name, amen. Prayer meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there, It's like going to Bible school at home.